This podcast replay is brought to you by Hijinx Sports Grill in Boca. Enjoy happy hour from 4 to 7 p.m. Reserve a VIP table online and receive one free sparkling wine. Follow them on Instagram at Hijinx Sports Grill.
There he is, fresh from the locker rooms, looking sharp, tie and all. How you feeling, my man? You feeling a little better than some of the Dolphin offensive linemen?
Yeah, you know, we're holding out hope that Teron Armstead's pec injury isn't very serious, but when you have a pec injury and are unable to return to the game, it often is serious. Of course, if there's a partial tear or tear, that would be a six-month injury ending Teron Armstead's season and possibly changing the entire outlook of Miami's season. But we will hold our breath and, wait and see and hope and pray. Certainly, Austin Jackson, Brandon Shell, Greg Little, some combination of those guys. They're not as good as Teron Armstead.
No, they're not. And here's the only thing that might give the Dolphin Nation, I think, Joe, a little hope is they've been precautionary with all their players. So, and they were winning comfortably at that point. So there was really no reason to bring them back and say, hey, you know what, Teron, let's take the precautionary approach here. Let's get you out just in case. So maybe, just maybe, it's a sprain.
You're right.
Or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Let's hope.
You hear a lot more about pulled pec. You hear a lot more about torn pecs than strained pecs. But and McDaniel did say that regardless of the score, Armstead would have been unable to play. And the Dolphins offensive linemen were concerned in the locker room. I can tell you that. So, but you know what? We got to get the tests and we'll see. Obviously the entire complexion of this game changed after he went out because Tua Tagovailoa was then sacked four times and Tua has hardly been sacked all season. Mike McDaniel took some of the blame for that, said that he should have been less aggressive in his play calling based on the changes that occurred at offensive tackle with Brandon Shell, who's played very well at right tackle, playing right. The far more unfamiliar left tackle.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, the part with Shell, everything that went on, and I'll give you an example. You look at the quarterback for the Texans. The kid hadn't played in well over a year, okay? Well, how did he look in the first half? He was kind of discombobulated. The second half, he started to settle down a little bit. Well, Brandon Shell, poor guy's been playing right tackle the entire time, habitually doing everything right. Now, all of a sudden, you throw him over on the left side. He has to now adjust automatically to the left side where he's facing the better athletes. Boom. Okay. Now Jackson goes down, and here comes Greg Little, who has not been needed for weeks. Now he has to play all of a sudden. Skylar Thompson, he did not look sharp. He comes in. He hadn't played in weeks. And you kind of look all around. It's kind of a common theme on some of the struggles. Now, Greg Little is he's a bad player so far from what I've seen. Unfortunately, I have to say that. But it doesn't help him that he hasn't really had playing time. So it doesn't matter whether you're a good player, whether you're a mediocre player, whether you're a young player. It's really hard to come in cold or adjust to a completely new position like Brandon Shell did. That's where I think it got a little crazy, and it happened so many pieces that it really threw everything off kilter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Dolphins had a 30-0 lead at halftime against the worst team in the National Football League, looking to win their fifth straight game to go 8-0 with Tua. It was kind of hard to keep the gas full throttle there. You're really just trying to kind of run out the clock in the second half. I guess it is a little surprising that the Dolphins were unable to get traction in the run game. You would have thought that this would be a game where Jeff Wilson could really get things going. We certainly hope that he and Raheem Mostert are going to be able to face their former team, San Francisco, next week. Mike McDaniel was asked about facing the Niners. He said, please, can you just give me a day? But, of course, he also added that it's not about him. But, listen, the preseason essentially is over for the Dolphins. Their last five opponents, their previous five opponents, are nowhere near the class or caliber that the Dolphins are about to face over the final 6 weeks. When you look at those teams and the pass defense that Tua Tagovailoa is about to face with San Francisco and the Chargers and Buffalo and the Jets and New England, those are all good pass defensive teams. And then you look at the overall offensive rankings that Josh Boyer and his unit is going to have to face, the Jimmy Garoppolo, Debo Samuels, the Justin Herbert, Keenan Allens, this Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. This is a step up in class. And let me ask you this, Big O. If I were to say to you what do we have left? 8-3 six, record.
Six games.
Just five. Six. Wow. Okay. So if I were to give you 3-3, you have a choice to take it or leave it. So you get to be 11-6. You probably tie for first place in the AFC East. Would you take the 3-3 or would you rather play it out?
Is Armstead healthy?
Let's say Armstead misses two games.
Oh, I'll take the 3-3.
Okay. So that if just Armstead, shows us if how Armstead big of an impact.
If Armstead is healthy, I like my chances. I'll take.
Well, we know he's not healthy. He's playing.
I'll roll with the punches, and I think they'll win 4 or 5 out of the six. Actually, see, the difference is I already saw them play tough defenses in the first half, and they also beat those tough defenses too. At the same time, for me, it's not about them. It's about the Dolphins. It's about Teron Armstead being healthy, actually, and bring more balance to that line that they need. If you do that, then they're going to be more themselves. The other part of the equation, I will agree with you, the part that Boyer has to face, and it's not because I feel any negativity towards Boyer. I just feel that he's been put in a really tough situation because his defense was structured one way, and all of a sudden now he's had to completely change it because of all the damn injuries in that secondary that has just ruined how you play defense for them. So they've had to adjust and play more zone at times, and they're playing a bunch of young guys that, you know, they're all still learning. So it's kind of a challenge for them. I will agree. But if the Dolphins can have Armstead healthy, I like my chances.
It was good to see Xavien Howard get involved in a turnover play, not an interception, but a touchdown. Maybe that'll give him a little bit of a boost as he is about to take on some of the aforementioned receivers that are top-notch, top caliber. Certainly Xavien is feeling a little bit better, a little bit healthier. Yeah, I mean, you look at the caliber of quarterbacks that the Dolphins have to face down the stretch here in terms of Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert. Obviously not so much on the Mac Jones, Zach Wilson / Mike White. Did the Jets play today? I didn't pay attention.
You played well, bro. Mike White threw 3 touchdowns, dude.
Mike White from Pembroke Pines. Who did they play? Did they win?
Yeah, they won.
Who did they beat?
Yeah. Damn it.
Forgive me for not knowing. I was not paying attention.
Dude, you're working. Beat guys are stuck in that world. I totally, completely get it, bro.
So that's interesting. Good. Mike White threw 3 touchdowns and the Jets won.
Yeah, dude, he like threw 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
This is a guy who threw for 400
Bears. They beat the Bears with a backup quarterback because the Bears couldn't start. Yeah, they started. Trevor Siemian is terrible, but Mike White went 22 of 28, 315 yards, and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Okay.
Wow. White I kind of compare Mike White to Skylar Thompson. I know Skylar didn't do much today, but I was kind of talking to Skylar Thompson about Mike White, and he didn't really know the story about how he had come in and thrown for 400 yards when called upon. He was the third stringer. And Skyler's a good dude, and it's interesting. He's been dressed as the backup now for 2 consecutive games. I thought it was interesting that the Dolphins got 2 out of there real quick. They wanted to pull him after 2 series.
Yes.
So 30-0, but also interesting.
But he was taking
Dolphins
hits,
discussed,
Joe.
The Dolphins discussed.
You don't disagree with it, right? You don't disagree with that, right, with all the hits he was taking?
Well, it was a little early, and then what happened is the Dolphins actually had a conversation about whether to reinsert him into the game. I don't know if you knew that. So,
yeah, I would have reinserted him if that last field goal that the Houston Texans, if it became a touchdown, I would have reinserted him then. Remember that, I don't know if you were on the beat then, but the Patriots once took a big ass lead on Miami, and then they brought in Matt Castle. I believe Jason Taylor intercepted him and took it for a touchdown or something. And immediately they put Brady back in to drive down for a touchdown because, you know, it was like, no, hold on a second. No, we're not going to allow this.
Didn't that also happen with Garoppolo? I feel like Garoppolo.
I don't know.
Garoppolo came in and then got yanked when I was covering the team. So maybe it happened once.
So maybe it wasn't Castle.
Maybe it was Garoppolo.
Maybe. I don't know why I'm thinking it was way back and it was Castle. But I don't know. Somebody will tell us what was it? Was it Garoppolo? Was it Castle? Or was it both? Or I don't know. Maybe it's happened twice.
But you're right. I mean, you could argue that the Dolphins, I mean, who's more invaluable than Teron Armstead? I mean, you know, obviously Tua and Tyreek, you know. Is Teron Armstead harder to replace than Tyreek Hill? It's close.
No. He's impossible to replace. Tyreek, you can get by without him because you still have a legit number one in Waddle. And then other guys can play off of Waddle, and you can get Gesicki more involved, which you don't get him involved that much. You can score points without Tyreek. Will you be as explosive? Probably not. But Tua's accurate enough that you'll be able to make plays with those other guys once he gets in a groove with those guys. But Armstead, there's no replacing because you're loaded at wide receiver. You're not loaded at left tackle.
Now, Austin Jackson left the game with an ankle injury. I saw him after the game. He said that he's okay. He was walking, a little bit of a limp. So it did not look like a significant re-injury of the ankle. But let's
just
say that.
Is it the same one?
I believe so. Yeah. I don't think it's the other one.
Okay, I don't know. I forgot which one it was and what was – I forgot which one was the injured one and then which is the one he injured today. I'm not exactly sure. That's the part that I'm fuzzy on right now.
Okay, until I hear otherwise, I was going under the assumption that it was just an aggravation of the high ankle injury. But he did – you know, but let's just say Jackson can't go and Armstead can't go. Who would you put a light tackle – Would you go Little at left tackle and Shell at right tackle? I guess so.
Yeah, I have no choice. I'm going to line up
Little and Shell.
I'm going to line up the tight end. What's it called? Smythe right next to Greg Little. And I'm going to have Max Protect for the entire game pretty much. And I'm going to have only a couple of guys out in routes. If Tyreek is healthy from the cramps, which I think he should be, then I'm going to have Waddle and Tyree creating as much havoc as possible. But I think it's a week where I'm going to have to go Max Protect because there is no way I'm allowing Boza to go up against Little by himself. Cannot do that.
That's a tough deal because the Dolphins don't like to go Max Protect. You noticed even on 4th and 1 today, I think in the red zone for the Texans, Dolphins go shotgun 5 wide receivers spread out. And it worked.
The problem is, Joe, you have a defect that I have, and we think in the box. And so we saw this team and said, well, Jeff Wilson kicked some ass 2 weeks ago. The line looked good. This is the perfect game. Unleash Jeff Wilson, a little Gaskin, a little Ahmed, Tua throw 25 times, keep it relaxed, power the game. This is an easy game, coast. But Mr. Smart Guy thinks completely out of the box. And we thought common sense, and he thinks complete, and it wasn't bad by his part. He was up 30-0. Really, what changed the whole dynamics of the way he wanted to play was the injuries. If these guys don't get injured, they light him up again in the second half, and they just move on and probably rest to in the fourth quarter, where Skyler's playing with an even bigger lead. But the sad part was the injuries changed the dynamics. And then if you decided to change the dynamics of wanting to run the ball, well, guess what, baby? You're not running it with those two tackles anymore because they're not used to doing what they're doing right now. And now you're asking them to run people over on the other side. And that's where it wasn't going to work because you were in pass happy mode the entire time. And now, and by the way, the other thing, you take a 30-0 lead at halftime. Human nature, baby. You let your guard down in the second half, and it's hard to keep that mojo going. The bye week didn't stop them. but the halftime after a 30-0 lead did.
So U.S.-Iran on Tuesday at 2, that's when you're going to Hijink Sports Bar and Grill?
Yes, I am. Yes. I don't know where you were going with that.
You're going to watch the soccer match?
No, I'm going to go hang out with Rob. I'm going to go hang out and check out the food. And then, yeah, I'll be watching USA and Iran while I'm at it. But I'm not going there just to watch USA and Iran.
Who are you rooting for? Who are you? I actually mentioned to Mike this week, I said, you know, I saw Saudi Arabia and Japan pull some upsets. And he goes, case in point, we're not taking the Texans lightly. I just love this McDaniel. He's an awesome dude. He's so funny. All right, check out the Palm Beach Post. I posted the 5 instant takeaways. We talk about Jason Sanders. We talk about Xavier Howard. We talk about Tua Tagovailoa. And we talk about the Teron Armstead injury, unfortunately.
Did Tua have anything to say in his press conference that was noteworthy?
I was in the locker room during Tua's press conference. I was talking to the offensive lineman.
How was handling the big press conference?
I think actually Tom DeAngelo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Tom DeAngelo 44 on Twitter. Yeah.
The biggest story.
We don't remember phone numbers anymore. We only remember Twitter handles now.
The biggest story of the day was actually Teron Armstead, unfortunately. Let's hope that it's an overblown story and it's not as bad as we fear.
No, I hope not. And by the way, did you see Tyreek in the locker room? Did he look fine?
Yeah.
Did you see him? Yeah.
He looked fine. He looked fine. Okay. I was finishing my notebook at that time, but yeah, I understand he left early, right? He looked fine.
Yeah, no, because he was cramping up. I mean, it's cramps. Okay. So that's not really something.
We all get cramps. I get cramps.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you, as hard as you work every day, all those stories, how do you not cramp up? You better, you know, a lot of fluids, bro. All right? Got a lot of work to do.
I'll talk to you Tuesday.
Yes, follow him on Twitter at Shad Joe and catch his work there at the Palm Beach Post. Take advantage of the Black Friday sale they still have going on right now at the Palm Beach Post.
6 months for $10.
Yeah, see, that's stupid. It's just stupid. 6 months for $10 and his work and Hal on the Dolphins. That alone is worth it. Joe, we love you. We'll catch you on Tuesday.
Good to see you, bud.
All right, you got it. There he is, Joe Shad. We are done with hijinks. No more hijinks with Joe Shad.